Rochester Sports Leader, 95.7 ESPN.
Welcome to Happy Hour here in the Sports Bar. Gene Battaglia flying solo here today. Well, I got Nick here with me, bud.
Yeah, come on. Give me some credit.
It's all right, yeah. Well, now the other guy, he's somewhere overseas on a beach somewhere, sunning himself. Danger. We'll be back before training camp. Well, of course, the big news today, Alex Nylander. When I called up my friend today, I could call my friend, Bradley Gelber, Myers work online covering the Buffalo Bills for the Bills Wire. Didn't think that we'd have a Saber trade drop in the middle of our show, but we could start here, I'm sure, because I know Bradley tweets a lot about the Sabres. Bradley, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. So if you don't mind, I'd like to start here with a Nylander trade for folks just getting in their car right now. Henry Jokiharju is a right-handed defenseman from Finland. If you're trading for another right-hand defenseman, don't we have a logjam? Would this not set up another move, perhaps, for Ristolainen? Or I'm reading too much into that, brother.
No, we've been saying this, it feels like, now for weeks. Every time the Sabres acquire another defender, it seems more and more like, okay, this is it for Ristolainen, and it just makes so much sense. And at this point, I mean, I don't know how much more obvious you could be. I know that the Sabres have come out and said that they, Ristolainen's a big part of the future and that they believe that, he's a part of the future plans. But, there's been several times where Botterill has just admitted, honestly, that they get calls about him, as you would imagine, a player of his overall caliber would get calls, and teams that need defensive help. And at this point, unless they decide to try and move a lesser piece, which I just don't see with all these guys. And we're not just talking bodies anymore at this point. We're talking about bona fide, top four defensemen that they have now with this team. And it just feels like there isn't room for Ristolainen. And if you're going to have that many defenders on your roster, why not try and get as much value as you can back? So, it'll be interesting to see what happens and when something happens. This move did surprise me. Nylander's a guy whose name has certainly been discussed and thrown around, and being, the former number 8 overall pick, there's going to be value there that just because he hasn't shown he can do it at the NHL level yet. You often have professional sports franchises that feel, okay, well, maybe if we bring him into our system with our coaches and our trainers and our, teammates here, we can get it right and we can, get some value out of this guy and we can help him realize his potential. And I think that's sometimes to the detriment of teams, because we've seen Buffalo teams do that, where they'll trade for a former first round pick or a guy they take a flyer on, and it just doesn't come to fruition. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens with Nylander's career at this point. But the fact that they dealt him for another puck moving defenseman, I'm excited for the Sabres, and that I think they truly are sticking to what Ralph Kruger has said. And he's reiterated that his style of play is going to be upbeat and fast paced, which is what the NHL is becoming nowadays. We don't see too many of these stay at home, big tough defensemen anymore, which is, somewhat more along the lines of what Ristolainen kind of gives you in his size and his physicality. But, I think at this point they're sticking to that script, which is good. But it'll just be interesting to see what can they get back for a guy like Ristolainen, and if they do decide to trade him. And if not, as you said, what do they do with this logjam? Whether it's if they try and move a guy like a Jake McCabe, or, there isn't too many other options on the blue line. They're not going to obviously deal some of the guys they just acquired. They're not going to deal Dahlin. So, they're in an interesting situation. They still need help on offense. So it would make sense, as people have kind of said all along, if they find a way to move Ristolainen for a package that possibly includes a second line center or some wing help here, right wing specifically. We'll see what happens at this point.
Yeah, Johansson, I don't know where they, but am I thinking, I look at what kind of Botterill's done this year, and I like what Brandon Bean did. In other words, they're not going to overpay for anybody, but we're going to bring in guys that are kind of versatile. And I look at the Johansson move. Okay, maybe he plays here or here, and it's nothing long-term if it doesn't work out. The VC trade, okay, a third-round pick. You're not going to get anything better value for a third-round pick, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I mean, to me, all these moves seem pretty low risk that Botterill has made so far.
Absolutely, and I think something else is he's looked for versatility in the players he's acquired. So, you know, a guy like VC can probably play on both sides there. Some of the talent they've brought in of late, Johansson can play center if need be, although that's not, as he kind of said, that hasn't been his natural position of late. But it's guys that can move around the lineup that don't put you, you know, pigeonhole them into one spot. Or if something happens to another guy, they can't slide in there and still be, you know, make do with them in the interim with an injury or this or that. So I like the moves he's made to this point. And I also think it's interesting to look forward because we can't help but do that sometimes. I know John Vogel from The Athletic wrote an interesting piece the other day on this, and he talked a little bit about the free agent class coming up next year in 2020, and it's going to be a very, you know, talent-heavy free agent class with the Sabres having a lot of cap room coming up next year. So obviously Sabres fans don't want to just go through another season wishing for the next year, but it's just interesting that the Sabres certainly don't appear like they're going to shoot themselves in the foot and tie up too much cap space or money and guys that aren't going to help them, and they're still trying to sort through some of those poor deals that were left from the prior regime that kind of hamstrung them from acquiring enough talent to be competitive at this point. So I don't think we're going to see them do anything that that harms the future, but it does. I agree with you. I like some of the moves they've made of late and the versatility that's come with that. To pair it with some of the top-end talent they have on this team. And, you know, obviously this all started back when Jeff Skinner re-signed. So I just think that they're in a good spot. You know, it'll be interesting to see, just like with the Bills, with bringing in all these new players, how they can kind of all come together on the ice or on the field. That's a whole nother question mark, especially with a brand-new head coach, and Ralph Kruger is going to have his work cut out for him there. But you know, there's been so many positive things said about Kruger, and he seemingly has done a ton of recruiting just in terms of guys. I know Johansson said basically Kruger was one of the main reasons he felt comfortable signing here, just sitting down and talking to him and his philosophy and how he welcomed him and his approach and all that. So I really feel good about the direction of the Sabres, which is something I haven't been able to say in a long time. And we'll just have to see really how quickly this can all come to fruition. But I said on Twitter right before we jumped on the call that the interview here that basically I'm happy that Botterill's willing to at least take some chances here, and he's not just sitting around waiting. Okay, well maybe we give it one more season with Nylander, and maybe then he'll finally come into his own. He's, you know what he said, it's been enough time. He hasn't developed here. Maybe he needs a change of scenery, and we're going to bring in a guy that can be a top four defenseman for this franchise going forward. So I like that he's at least willing to take some chances, and I think that's something that Sabres fans desperately have needed and wanted with how things have gone. So we'll see how things move forward here.
Well, Brandon, I'll give you the Rochester perspective on this. Bradley Gelber from the Bills Wire, USA Today's network, our guest here in the sports bar. When Alex Nylander came back to Rochester and he had that cut, and the Sabres at the, you know, last week of the regular season said he was day-to-day, and here there's another week in the Amherst regular season, and then we're into the postseason, and still no update from the Sabres. And your head coach for the Amherst, when asked about Nylander's injury, just simply says it is what it is, and Nylander's not around to defend himself. To me, that just says, okay, well, then this guy, in a sport where guys plays with broken jaws, I mean, it was either the Sabres didn't get out in front of this and explain what that injury was, and, you know, if that's true, then shame on them. But I'm tending to think that was the Sabres saying, get out there, and he did not. And at that point, that's when I'm sure Jason Botterill thought, I had to go move this guy. That, at least that's my theory in the Rochester perspective on this.
Yeah, it was a very curious situation just overall, because I remember hearing about it, and you think a cut, even if it's a bad cut, okay, he'll be out for a couple weeks maybe or whatever have you. And it was just, as you said, you know, kind of just puzzling. And every time there was an update, it was really, there is no update and he's still out. And, you know, there, you definitely felt like there might have been something else going on behind the scenes there and whatnot. And I guess, you know, as his name's kind of been brought up throughout here with possible trades, and I think part of that just being the fact that he had some value there to teams, like as I mentioned earlier, maybe just thinking that they can finally kind of have him realize his potential. But I don't think anyone was too shocked to see Nylander end up getting moved. But I just, I do find it surprising it was for another, you know, defenseman here. And as we kind of said from the beginning here, it feels like at some point something's got to give and we've got to see someone leave. So, you know, they're in a good position, though, to kind of hopefully build up that offense now and go from there.
Bradley Gelber from USA Today's Bills Wire. Bradley, you know, we're essentially 2 weeks away from the team reporting here to Rochester. So good time to talk and kind of revisit things. And, you know, certainly this year, you know, people are excited about a new quarterback, a lot of new parts on this team. I'm going to throw an idea past you, and you tell me if I'm all wet or if this is something the Bills should explore. The leading rusher on the Buffalo Bills in 2019 will be, and it should be, Josh Allen. This is not the NFL of 1995. This is the NFL that protects their quarterbacks. And if Josh Allen knows the rules of the road here, that is quite a weapon to have here. And for a quarterback, you know, 1,000 yards playing over 16 games, and I understand your risk, but if you're not allowed to hit the quarterback in certain positions. Bradley, do you see the Bills, do you see Brian Daboll utilizing that, or do you see this as something that, you know what, you know, no, this is something that you shouldn't have in any offense with any quarterback in any league, no, 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 be a pocket passer? Where do you come down on the skills of Josh Allen?
Yeah, so I hear what you're saying. I don't think that they are smart to try and just have him be a pocket passer. I think you have to utilize Josh Allen's athleticism. I mean, they'd be crazy not to. I think last season, unfortunately, a lot of the athleticism was due to poor offensive line play and lack of weapons. I think he really had no choice but to take off and run sometimes. And obviously, I think a lot of us were surprised at just how athletic and how athletically gifted Josh was in terms of his speed and his elusiveness. And we all saw in the Vikings game when he jumped over Anthony Barr. And I just, there's a lot there that I think kind of opened people's eyes. But I think it also, you have to remember now, he's not going to catch anyone by surprise anymore. And I think that's the problem we've seen with these mobile quarterbacks that leave the pocket a lot is, defenses, when they start game planning for that, when they start having film to go off of, all of a sudden there aren't as big of holes and there, it's not this open field to kind of go out there and take advantage of. But as you said, that kind of falls now on Brian Daboll to figure out a way to utilize Josh's athleticism in a more designed way. So what I think we're going to see is, I think we're going to see more designed quarterback, you know, options or runs or plays that allow Josh to get out of the pocket and scramble, not just him taking off for dear life, but more formulated plays. And I think that's where we're going to have Daboll. We're going to find out what kind of play caller and you know, play designer he really is. And I know there's been a lot of talk with Daboll and Allen about really kind of utilizing this offseason to find out what Josh is comfortable with. Because last year, you have to remember, as a rookie quarterback, there's so much going on. A lot of it is just take this small percentage of the playbook. Let's find out what he's comfortable doing that he's not going to implode on, what he can go out there and run, and then we'll go from there. Let's just try to survive, basically, okay? Like, let's go out there and do what we got to do. Now that he has the whole season under his belt, and I think he's talked a lot about how he's felt he's grown. We've heard his teammates say they feel the same way, coaches, front office officials, ownership. So I think for Josh this year, it's going to be utilizing his athleticism. I like your concept there, but I don't because, and it's not crazy to think because of the fact that there are so many, you know, mouths to feed, if you will, in terms of right now, there's four capable running backs on the roster. We don't know if when we get to the start of the regular season, if all four of those guys will be here, but at least as of right now, there's four guys that could presumably go out there and carry the ball for you. So if you split up the yardage between those four guys, it's not crazy to think a guy that's touching the ball every snap, and that is as athletic as Josh is, could lead the team in rushing. I have a hard time kind of seeing a Sean McDermott-led team and a Brian Daboll offense and kind of their philosophy of this, you know, still feels like a defense-first team, still feels a little old school until they prove otherwise. So I have a hard time kind of seeing them go out there and saying, you know, we want Josh to be the leading rusher here on this team. But I don't think it's, you know, impossible that that could happen. But I do feel like hopefully we see them open up the offense more this year, that they trust Josh a little more. They know what he's comfortable with. They have receivers now that they should be able to rely on more, in veterans like a John Brown and a Cole Beasley, who I've said repeatedly I think is going to be a big help for Josh underneath there, especially on times where last season he had to just take off and run or he heaved the ball downfield. I think hopefully he adjusts to having that safety blanket and Cole Beasley underneath where he can kind of throw the ball 5 yards and set themselves up for a second and short or a third and short instead of, you know, third and 10 at that point. So I think there's a lot to it. And I know I kind of got away a little bit from what you asked me, but I do feel like there's a possibility we get there, but I have a hard time just seeing it be designed kind of end goal for them at this point.
We're talking to Bradley Gelber from the Bills Wire, our guest here in the sports bar. Over to the other side of the ball. I want to say this Bills defense is going to be elite. I mean, certainly they have the defensive backfield. You have this tremendous talent, a middle linebacker in Edmonds. Is there going to be enough of a pass rush, though? Because to me, if they can't get to the quarterback, yes, you can do all these things in pass defense. You can stop the run. But if you cannot sack the quarterback or put pressure and force bad decisions that will lead to the turnovers, Bradley, in your opinion, are the Buffalo Bills going to get enough pass rush to get to that next level they need to defensively?
Well, I think a guy like Ed Oliver is certainly going to help. And it depends, you know, how much they use Ed Oliver early, how ready he is to go by, you know, as a rookie. I think he's going to be tremendous as a rookie. I don't think there's any reason he shouldn't be able to come in and make an impact right away. And I think his presence alone is going to help open up the outside for a guy like Jerry Hughes. I think Shaq Lawson is a guy now in a contract year that they didn't pick up that option. I think he's out there to prove, whether it's to the Bills or his next team, like, hey, I'm capable of doing this at the NFL level as a former first round pick. So I think we're in for, obviously, you know, this phrase is thrown around a lot, make or break year, but I think truly for Shaq Lawson, this is going to be huge for his career, because as I said, either the Bills are going to bring him back or he's going to be with another team in 2020. So I think we could see more from him. And, you know, I think Murphy, too, is a guy that Trent Murphy, who was hurt and dealt with injuries, but shown when he's healthy, he can make a difference. So I think there is the talent there, whether or not, you know, they're able to get to the quarterback is another question. But the one thing I do think that's helped the Bills, because of all the talent at linebacker and all the talent in the backfield, the offenses are evolving now, and I think we're seeing that a lot, that basically it's not even so much anymore necessarily about pressuring the quarterback, because we're seeing quarterbacks get rid of the ball so quickly nowadays. Even if you have elite talent at getting to the quarterback, teams are game planning for that, and they're saying, okay, we need you to get the ball out right away. So it's almost having, instead of pressuring the quarterback, it's having quick coverage, that you have guys that are able to, you know, get to the pass catcher or the running back right away. So I think the Bills, with their situation at linebacker, I think with their backfield, they're set up nicely for that. So, of course, you still want to be able to get to the quarterback. And I think they have the potential to do that. But I think they're in a better position than maybe some other teams are that are transitioning to this new offense. We just talked about Josh Allen, you know, not necessarily having to scramble all the time or having to throw the ball all the way downfield, getting the ball out quickly to some of these guys underneath, like a Cole Beasley. So I think the Bills are in a situation where they're going to be able to handle that better than some defenses that were kind of set up to defend more traditional offenses. So, I think that I really like what the Bills have on defense. I'm hopeful that they're able to kind of pick things up from where they were last year. And then if the offense can take a step forward, you know, you're looking at a much improved team, hopefully, for this upcoming season.
Bradley, when I could ask you the question, what are you most interested in looking at? And as far as I have a question about this Bills team, what positional battle? You could say, I suppose, the opposite corner position. You could say the pecking order wide receiver. I think most people would answer the question on the offensive line. Do we have any clue how the offensive line is going to shake out or what the protocol is going to be as far as who's going to start out where and how the camp battle is going to begin for the Buffalo Bills on the offensive line?
You know, that's the golden question. I think you just nailed it there. I think, you know, outside of Mitch Morse at center, I think we're really looking maybe, you know, and I know there's been talk of Deion Dawkins, if he's going to play, where is he going to play? Is he going to stay at left tackle? What are they going to do with him? I think for now, he's going to start off where he's been. And I think Mitch Morse is penciled in there at center. So I think all the other positions, though, are up for grabs at this point. And to go back to kind of what I said earlier about the Sabres and acquiring players that are versatile, I think the Bills have done that to an even greater degree. I think so many of these offensive linemen that they brought in this year are capable of playing different positions, whether it's a Ty Nasecki, who was a swing tackle prior, and some feel he may start. You obviously have a guy like Quentin Spain, who can play both guard positions. You got Cody Ford coming in as a rookie that there's been talk of, where is he going to play on the offensive line? Is he going to start right away? So there's just so many plug-and-play kind of pieces, which I think is much improved, don't get me wrong, from where they were last year. But the thing is, they can't really get much worse than where they were last year. So I don't know. I think the Bills have a very deep offensive line. Are they going to be one of the top offensive lines in the league? Probably not, but I think even being in the middle of the pack is a great improvement over last year. So that is certainly what I'll be looking forward to seeing, where these guys line up. I like a lot of the pieces they brought in, but it's all about the, you know, part art, part science. It's all about kind of making this masterpiece all work together here. So we got to figure out now, you know, you got a few of the pieces that are kind of slotted in at this point, but then kind of how do these guys play? And I think the one thing people don't always realize with the offensive line is these guys might look good on paper, but how do they play together? Because if any of any unit in the NFL, the offensive line has to meld well together, mesh well together, and they have to play in rhythm, and they have to know where this guy's going to go or to open up a hole for this guy. So I just think so much of it's going to be contingent on the chemistry we see through training camp in the preseason. And there's just so many names. I know at the Bills Wire, we were talking earlier today, some of us, about, you know, okay, roster spots, who might not even make the team outright. And there's just so many guys that could, in one blink of the eye, could go from potentially being a starter to maybe not even making the roster. So that's how deep some of these position groups are, which I think, you know, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and all these guys, I think that's what they want, ideally. But it's going to just be fascinating to see kind of how it plays out. And you know, everyone always says that, you know, iron sharpens iron, and this is what you want. And kind of these position battles are so good for players when this competition kind of pushes you. And I think we're going to see that firsthand this year more so than ever for the Bills.
Bradley, what are you guys working on the Bills Wire as we get ready for camp here?
Yeah, so we have a lot of position battles and previews coming out. I just talked about, too, how we have some roster kind of who we think's going to preview of the 53. And then just some, you know, little storylines that come out. I think there's always a good kind of behind, behind the guys, not just the player, kind of get to know the person behind the jersey there. Training camp's a fun time to kind of hear some of those stories. So I always enjoy those and getting to know the guys a little bit more than just who they are on the football field. So definitely looking forward to getting football back in a couple weeks. This time of year always feels, as you can attest to, I'm sure, feels a little slow, but at least we've had the Sabres to kind of keep things interesting in the interim. So, but yes, it'll definitely be nice to have football back in a couple weeks here.
We're only 2 weeks away. Bradley Gelber, Bills Wire, always appreciate your time. Great insight, and you have yourself a good one, Bradley.
Yeah, thanks, Gene, and I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the day as well.
We will do so.